All right, we're starting here on the bottom of Pei Vavim Bet. Yesterday we read the Mishnah that stated that if a person mistakenly was made for the neder of his wife instead of his daughter, or his daughter instead of his wife, and other possible mistakes that he made in terms of the interpretation of the neder, the hafarat and neder, we said that that hafarah is not considered to be a good hafarah. The Gemara then concluded the memra, the yani otah davkahu, that the yani otah, the otah, that word we're saying means that particular woman, or again, that particular neder. We saw that the Rosh brings another source also for the mistakes regarding the neder. The Ran talked about a source for regards to hakama also. But what the Gemara is indicating is that that word otah, we're taking very literally. And the Gemara asks on that, v'ha gabei kraim, dichtiv al, when it comes to tearing kriya, this is tearing kriya over a mate, over there we have the word al multiple times, dichtiv, because it says, al Shaul ve'al Yonatan bino. So actually this is found in Shmuel Bet, Perek Aleph, when the news comes to David over the losses that Bnei Yisrael sustained in the battle against the Plishtim, including the death of Shaul and Yonatan. And then you have multiple psukim that actually have the same language in it. Seemingly, it's referring to Pasuk Yud Bet, where David says, Vayisbidu, Vayivku, Vayatsumu, Adarev. They eulogized, they cried, they fasted until the evening. Al Shaul, Vayonatan Beno. And Shaul and Yonatan is his son. Va'alam Hashem, Va'al Beit Yisrael, Kinaflu Becharev. Over the loss of the battle and the king and his son, the prince. In the previous Pasuk, it says, Vayachazek David, Vibigada, Vayikraim. Gam kol anashim asher ito. So in that context of kriya, in the subsequent pasuk, it delineates each person individually. Al, Shaul, ve'al Yonatan, indicating that you need a separate kriya for every mate. Later on, in the same parak, in pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, ve'yikonein David et akina azot, al Shaul, ve'al Yonatan beno. So there also, it has the same language about the kina. There you would have to say that we would learn from the fact that he had a separate kina for each individual that also requires a separate kriya. Vitanya, despite the fact that we have what seemingly is a word indicating that there should be separate kriyot, that we say, amrulo meit aviv, person was told that his father passed away, vikara, and then he tore a kriya. V'akrakach nimtza bino, and then he finds out that it wasn't his father that passed away, but rather his son that passed away, yatsa yedei kriya. He's yotzei the kriya. So now here you have seemingly a stira between our Mishnah and this Braita. Both of them have what seems to be in the Psukim a source for delineating or segregating each party. By the neder you have yani otah. By the kriya you have al. Yet the Braita and the Mishnah come to different conclusions. The Mishnah concludes, therefore, if you make a mistake, it doesn't work. On the other hand, the Braita concludes, therefore, if you make a mistake, it does work. So how do we reconcile between these two? Mara says, Amrei lo kasha ha bestam ha bimifarish. The difference between them is whether it was done bestam or was it done bimifarish. Stam would be without any designation. Mifarish would be that the one is articulated or it's clear what they are doing. Over here, they have three different approaches of the Rishonim. If you look in Rashi, the Mifarish over here, he says, Kan bistam, kan bimfaresh, gabi kriya, shikara stam, shalo aviv lo abino. When we say that the kriya works, whether it's his father or his son, is when he tears a kriya over a niftar. He doesn't designate who that niftar is. He doesn't even know necessarily who the niftar is. He knows that he has a mate that he has to tear kriya for. And he tears kriya stam without giving any attribution to that kriya or without anybody telling him who the kriya is for. In that case, it works. If he finds out later that it was his son instead of his father, then that's fine as long as he was koreya stam. On the other hand, bifeirush is when he does it for that particular individual, like in the Mishnah, where he does the hafarah, the shem bito, then it doesn't work, the shem ishto. If he does the shem ishto, it doesn't work for shem bito. And the same would true by kriya. If he tore the kriya for his father, then it would not work for the son. If he tore it for the son, it wouldn't work for the father. Or, had he done a hafarah For whatever neder was taken, he wasn't certain about whether it was his wife or his daughter, or he didn't specify, then hafarah would work for either one, no matter who it was. He heard that there was a neder taken. Nobody specified whether it was his daughter or his wife. Or even if somebody said it was his daughter, when he does the hafarah, he doesn't specify the hafarah is for his daughter. He just says the hafarah stam. So in one of those two instances, that is the stam case. And since he does not give attribution to the particular action, he goes through the hafarah. He doesn't specify that the hafarah is particularly for his daughter, just the hafarah for this neder. And then whoever it's attributed to, then they will assign the hafarah to that neder. So that's one way to explain it. That's Rashi's explanation. The Balei HaTosafot follows the same sheet as Rashi and says, Habistam hach kriya dekarastam lemishu. Someone, he was tearing a kriya because there was a mate that he had to tear kriya for. On the other hand, you have the Shita of the Rosh, V'hadiktani amrulo mate aviv vikara lav davka. El amrulo mate lo mate, ukesavur shehu aviv. And he thought it was his father. And the same thing that the Ran says, Elish v'amrulo mate v'savur aviv. So they told him someone died, and he made the assumption that it was his father. Then he tears the kriya, that's called stam. Because he's just making an assumption. He doesn't know for certain. He doesn't articulate it. And they don't tell him. So in that instance, that kriya is not assigned to a particular individual. And that's why it works for his son as well. On the other hand, b'mefaresh, where they specifically told him that his father passed away. And he tore a kriya. It wasn't that he assumed his father passed away, but they actually told him that his father passed away. In that instance, then it would be problematic to change it over to his son. And the same is true with the hafara. If they specified who did the hafarah, then that is mifaresh. If they just said the neder was taken, he assumed it was his wife, or he assumed it was his daughter, then the hafarah will work for either party when we find out who is the real party to the neder. Gemara says, v'hatanyo, but don't we have a braita? Now, normally when you have v'hatanyo throughout Shas, you have two possibilities of what v'hatanyo is. Most of the times, 75% of the time, 80% of the time, v'hatanyo is a question from a braita. There is a minority of times where Vatanya is benichuta, which is the bright that comes to support the statement that we said before. And so in this instance, if you look in the Balei HaTosafot, he says Vatanya benichuta. You look in the Rosh, he says Vatanya benichuta. And you look in the Ran, he says Vatanya benichuta. That this bright is supportive of the previous statement, which is Amrulo, Meit Aviv, Vikara. They told him that his father had passed away, and he told tore kriya. V'akar kach nimtza bno. Then he finds out it was his son. Lo yatza yedei kriya. Then he's not yotze yedei kriya. According to the Ran and the Rosh, because they specified it was the father, that's already considered to be mifaresh. And that's why you can't switch it over. The Ran and the Rosh are going to say, because he knew it was his father, that already makes it mifaresh. And that's why lo yatza yedei kriya. Amru lo meit, lo meit. They told him that someone died. They didn't specify who it was. Ukesavur avivu, and he thought it was his father. Vikara, and he tore the kriya. V'achar kach nimtza bno. And then he figures out it's his son. Yatzai yedei kriya. So again, that works well according to what the Ran and the Rosh said, was that in one case they specified who the mate was. In the other case, he made an assumption about the mate. And that's the difference in the cases. Kan bistam, kan bimifaresh. So here the Braita gives you those two cases. One case of mifaresh, one case of stam. According to the Rashi and the Tosafot, then the case is not necessarily where they told him is not the important thing, but rather why he tore the kriya. Meaning that in the first case, Emilu made the viv, and he tears the kriya specifically for his father. That what was the problem. In the second case, where Emilu made the mate, ukusavur aviv, but he tears the kriya stam, then that case, he can cover the son as well. According to Rashi and Tosafot, he has to specify who he's tearing the kriya for. If he doesn't, then that's called kriya stam. According to the Ran and the Rosh, you don't have to articulate it. It's the information that he's getting. If he has certainty in the information, then we assign the kriya to the certainty information. If he's speculating, then we don't assign the kriya to that piece of information. It's as if he did it bistam. Okay, so how do you, very good. So how do you know the difference? Truth is that there is a difference between kriya on parents and kriya on a child or any other mate, which is, first of all, which side you do the kriya on matters between parents and other mate team. How big a kriya you have to do is a difference between a parent and a child. So there are things that indicate why or how he's making the kriya, and that might have impact over here in terms of knowing or articulating what he's doing or showing what he is doing, according to at least Rashi and the Tosafot, where who you do the kriya for is important. According to the Ran and the Rosh, it has not to do with who he did it for, but rather who they told him. If he has certainty about doing it, then that may make less of a difference. Other issue might be that you have to do it bishat chimum, which is, there's a requirement, especially the Raivud says that you can only do kriya bishat chimum, which is at the time of the emotional release is when you do a kriya. That it would be completely inappropriate to tear kriya when you have information at a later time where it doesn't have the emotional impact of finding the news at the moment of the death. So over here, that might be also the nuance or the difference here as to whether you can utilize the kriya for one party or another, which is that it's the emotional release that goes through the kriya. If it's for a particular individual, then you may not be able to use that for another individual because that's not shat chimum. Now then, if you tore it because of the death, without the specificity of that particular individual, then maybe that is considered shat chimum for the other individual because it's all about that mate, not about the particular individual. So that might be the way to understand the difference. And again, Tosafot and Rashi don't specify the requirement for amira. There are those that say, again, a third shita about the difference is whether you articulate or don't articulate. Rashi and Tosafot simply say that he was korei stam, or he was korei in particular for this individual. Doesn't say here necessarily articulation, but you could read that into Rashi and Tosafot. For them, it might just be what the person's thinking when they tear the kriya. And so you could say there that it doesn't need articulation, simply needs what he's thinking at the time that he tears the kriya. Yes, yes. Son is an example of a mate that's not father or mother. Right. So that's the way that majority of the Rishonim read it. On the other hand, there are those that read it, Batanyo, as being a question, not an ichuta. And you could see that in the Rashi the Mefaresh over here. He says, Vatanya, lo yatsayi de kriya, v'kashin braita hadodi. This braita is a question on the previous braita. Now, the Rosh brings down this alternative view that Vatanya is a braita. And the Rosh says over here that if you do read it that way, he thinks, you can see the Aleph in the Bach, that latter half of the braita is not brought over here. Which is, Batanya is a question on our answer. Amrlo meit aviv vikara. His father died and he tore a kriya. V'achar kach nimtza bino. Then he finds out it was a son. Lo yatsa yidei kriya. And that's it. That's the end of the braita. Now that's a stira with the previous braita. And if you're right that the difference here is between stam and mifaresh, then doesn't seem that the braitot are entertaining that type of difference. So then you now have a statement which is Ravashi Amar. Now, when Ravashi comes and speaks, what is Ravashi addressing? According to those that say that there's a steer on the braitot, like Rashi and Mefaresh says over here, that Ravashi is coming to reconcile between the two braitot. And Ravashi's answer here is, how do I reconcile between the braitot? According to the Ran and many of the other Rishonim, Ravashi over here is not coming to answer that question, but simply say, once you've made the separation between Stam and Mifaresh, I can also subdivide, even within Mifaresh, I could subdivide. Which is that Stam will not be a problem, and the Kriya will work for each one of them. By Mifaresh, then even there, there'll be two possibilities. And Ravashi is giving us the two possibilities, or the subdivision within that scenario. Which is, Ravashi Amar, Kan Betoch Kedei Dibur, Kan La'achar Kedei Dibur. Here it was done within the G'day Dibur. Here it was done after G'day Dibur. So now, if you read like Rashi and Mefaresh, that the Braitot are a stira, how come in one case the Kriya for the father works for the son? In one case it doesn't. The question is, when did he get the information about the son? How soon after the Kriya did he get the information? If he got the information that corrected his assumption or corrected the misinformation within G'day Dibur, then that suffices. That Kriya can work for his son. On the other hand, if the information only becomes available or he only becomes aware of it after Kedei Dibur, Toch Kedei Dibur, then he has to tear a separate Kriya. Now, Toch Kedei Dibur is a statement of Shalom Alecha Rabbi, that a person says hello to his Rebbe, greets his Rebbe, or Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori. So other Rishonim add the word Mori in as well. But that amount of time, if the correction or the assumption is made right within that period of time, then it's considered the Kriya works for whatever the Kriya was supposed to work. If there was a gap of time larger than that, then we see it as being discrete events, and then forgets to tear a separate kriya. According to the Mefaresh, that the Braitot were a stira, this is the resolution of that stira. According to the other Rishonim, Rav Ashi is coming to extend what was said before. We said, kan b'stam, kan b'mefaresh. So by stam, you don't need to do another kriya. Even by mefaresh, you don't have to do another kriya if it's done b'toch kedei dibur. If the correction is made within toch kedei dibur. If it's more than toch kedei dibur, then by mefaresh, you would have to then tear a separate kriya. That's the way that the other Rishonim read it. Ha dekam art yatsa yedei kriya. When is he yotze kriya? She nimtza b'no b'toch kedei dibur. That's when he finds out within a toch kedei dibur. Har demart lo yatsa yedei kriya. Lachar kedei dibur. That was after a kedei dibur. The Rosh notes that this girsa only seems relevant if you think that Rav Ashi here is coming to answer or reconcile the stirot. If he's not coming to reconcile the stirot, doesn't seem like this is necessary language, because here it's trying to differentiate between the two braitot. That's not what Rav Ashi is doing according to many of the other Rishonim. According to the other Rishonim, Rav Ashi is just giving us within Mifaresh, you can subdivide and say there's a difference between Toch Dibur and Lo Toch Dibur. Then this language that explains it seems extraneous and not necessary. And therefore, he said that you would eliminate it from the Girsa if you believed that the Braita before was Benichuta, and Rav Ashi is simply giving a subdivision within the Mifaresh. Once again, V'Hatanya. Now we have a Braita. Now in this case, everybody here says V'Hatanya Benichuta, including the Mifaresh. V'Hatanya de Mesaya, the Rav Ashi. That this braita is support for Rav Ashi's position, which is mi sheyesh lo chule b'toch beito, someone who is ill within the house, v'nitalef, and then he seemingly fainted or looks like they passed away, uchmiduma shemet, and they thought that the person had died, v'kara, and therefore they were koreya over the mate, v'achar kach mate, but then they really die, meaning that they come to again and then they really die. Lo yatsa yedei kriya. Then you're not yotze the day kriya, because you tore kriya when the person was not niftar. And therefore, when they are niftar, you have to tear kriya. Now we have a qualification of that, right? So, which is Amar Bishum ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Lo shonu elo shemet lachar kedei dibur. That's only if the person passed away more than a kedei dibur after he tore the kriya. Abba toch kedei dibur, if the mate passed away within a toch kedei dibur of the kriya, then it's kedibur dami, or in essence, the kriya works for that mate because they die within the, call it the sphere of the kriya. The sphere of the kriya is anything that's within toch kedei dibur is still considered within the sphere of the kriya. If it extends beyond that, then you need a separate kriya for the mita. Now, as Tosafot points out over here, it's a little strange because the braita is not really supportive of Rav Ashi. The braita doesn't say anything about toch kedei dibur. It's the qualification of Rav Shimon Pazi that it really is the support for Rav Ashi. Tosafot leaves it as a question, which is the Gemara should have just said that Rav Shimon Pazi is supportive of Rav Ashi, not that the Braita is supportive of Rav Ashi. And that's why some would question whether Hatanya over here is really a Nichuta, is really a support to Rav Ashi. And once again, you could explain Hatanya here to be a question. The Braita is a question. Is it really true that what you're saying of toch kedei dibur, ain't toch kedei dibur? Look, I have a braita here that seems to say that if the person passes away, after you've torn kriya, doesn't work. And then braita does not differentiate between toch kedei dibur and not toch kedei dibur. That would be against Rav Ashi, and Vatani would be a question. The answer is, I'm Rav Shimon Pazi. Rav Pazi qualifies the braita, and qualifying the braita, then it is supportive of Rav Ashi's position. So once again, you could read Vatani over here instead of Nichuta as a support for Rav Ashi, as a question on Rav Ashi. And then Rav Shimon Pazi would be an answer to that question, and that would get rid of Tosafot's question, which is the real support is from Shimon Pazi, not from the Braita. Now the Gemara concludes and says, "Hilchata toch kedei dibur kedibur dami." That this principle of anything that's toch kedei dibur is considered to be dibur dami, or is considered under the sphere of the action that was taken, chutz, with four exceptions: mimigadeif, voveda vodat kochavim, umikadesh, umigarish. So these are four exceptions. The Gemara in Baba Batra, there is a parallel Gemara in Baba Batra, and the Gemara over there only states two exceptions, which are Obedat Kochavim and Mikadesh. The Ran over here says that that's not any different, because Mikadesh, Bichlal Obedat Kochavim, and Migarish is Bichlal Mikadesh. So So the Gemara Bavatra just gave you the shorthand for the four instances. Over here, it gives you an explication of exactly which four cases are accepted from this rule. Now, what are these cases? The case of Migadef, someone knows the euphemism that's used is Birkat Hashem, someone who is Chas V'Shalom cursing Hashem's name. Avodat Kochavim, from the way that the Ran explains it, the Rishonim explain it here, is someone who says to an object, Eli Ata, you are my God. So that would be considered to be something that a person is doing, the Dibor. If he changes his mind within Tochad Dibor in either of these instances, and instead of cursing Hashem, changes it around, or instead of saying that this object is a God, he says it's not a God, and he changes his mind with Tochad Dibor, it doesn't work. That change in stance is not helpful, because chutz, these are the exceptions to the rule where you're unable to change it. The other possibility by Avodat Kochavim is that he is makdish something to Avodah Zarah. He makes it into Takrovet Avodah Zarah. He says, this will be given to the Avodah Zarah, this we use to worship the Avodah Zarah. So again, there, he can't reverse it, Tochadei Dibur. Mikadesh is when he is marrying a woman. He offers a woman Kiddushin, and then retracts it to Tochadei Dibur. Or Migaresh, he divorces the woman, and then retracts it to Tochadei Dibur. In all of these cases, it fails. The retraction fails. The question is why? Or what does Tochadei Dibur have to do with at all? So the Ramban quotes in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosafot over here quotes in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that the din here is a din derabonon. The din derabonon is that Chazal wanted to grant the person the opportunity to turn to his Rebbe and give respect to his Rebbe and greet his Rebbe without hurting whatever he was involved with. So we want you to give that respect to the Rebbe, but we want it not to affect whatever you're engaged in. So Chazal gave this window of Tochadei Dibur so that you could turn and greet the Rebbe and then go back to whatever you were doing, and that would not be considered to be a hefsek, would not be considered to be problematic. And that's why they instituted this Tochadei Dibur. So now, then these four cases are accepted from the rule. The question then is, why are these four cases accepted from the rule? The Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar indicates that maybe there's a difference between Dinei Derabonon and Dinei Deoraita. That Tochadei Dibur only applies to Dinei Derabonon, does not apply to Dinei Deoraita, and these are all examples of Dinei Deoraita. The Ran rejects the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, period, because he says that we find many times the application of Tochadei Dibur with regards to Dinei Deoraita. So here, by Nidarim, Tochadei Dibur is used, even though Nidarim are a din d'oraita. Why does a person have a right, or why does Chazal allow you to undermine something d'oraita, Tochadei Dibur? And therefore, the Ran believes that this concept of Tochadei Dibur is a din d'oraita, and that the ability of Tochadei Dibur is a window of opportunity that the Torah gave you in order to change your mind or to retract. But that's only in cases where we're not dealing with substantive matter. Something that is so chashuv that people don't allow this to leave their mouth without having gemira tadat. A person doesn't get married just willy-nilly. A person's proposing kiddushin, that's something they've thought about, that's something that they clearly know that they want to do. And therefore, if they make the statement, we're not going to allow them to retract it afterwards because they had gemira tadat. If they sing afterwards that they're changing their mind, they really didn't change it, that was the gemira tadat. And the same thing with gitin. These aren't things that people play around with. Same thing with Avodah Zarah. Calling a chepetz Eliyata is not something that you mess around with. And same thing with Birkat Hashem. These are such significant matters that people don't play around. And therefore we assume when you stated it, he has gemira tadat and it's over. He basically severs the ability to retract it because of the significance of the matter. That's what the Ran suggests as the explanation over here. What compels Rabbeinu Tam to say that it's the Rabbonon is because there is no source for Tochadei Dibur Kedibur Dami. And therefore he is driven to say, or the Rabbi Lezer is driven to say, that it's a din derabonon. The Ran doesn't like that, because then why are these four cases accepted from it? Now you could say the same thing for the din derabonon. Even in Dinei Derabonon, the Chachamim excluded these cases because they were too significant. And you get the same answer as the Ran. The Ran, on the other hand, says do raita. He then can explain why these cases are special, unique, and then explain other instances in Shas where we use it, even though we're dealing with Dinei Doraita. But on the other hand, he doesn't have a clear source for the fact that Tochadei Dibur is Kedibur Dami. And what you have to say is that whether it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi Sinai or some sort of Misora, that was the case. Right now, next Mishnah says, Amra, kunam te'inim v'anavim elu shani to'emet. So if she says or takes a neder, restricting herself in these figs and these grapes, kiyem l'te'inim kulo kayam. If the husband is mikayem, a portion of the neder, the te'inim, then kulo kayam. The entire thing is kayam. Hefer l'te'inim, if he was only nullified the te'inim, enu mufar, then it's not nullified. Ad shiafer af le'anavim, until he then nullifies the anavim as well. There's a difference between the Rishonim as to how to read this last line. It's not clear. The Ran actually brings both interpretations down, which is, when it says here, hefer l'te'inim, he nullified the te'inim, enu mufar, it's not mufar. What is not mufar? So that you could say, enu mufar, you could say is enu mufar klal. The hafara does not work at all, ad shiafer af le'anavim, until he does hafara, both for te'inim or anavim. Or, it can be in contrast with what was said before with the kiyum, which is hefer l'te'inim, enu mufar. Then the grapes are not mufar, ad shiafer af le'anavim, as opposed to the kiyum. So both of those interpretations are possible readings of the Mishnah, and the Ran brings both of them down, both possibilities. Amra, kunam te'ina shani to'emet, ve'anava shani to'emet. If she says that I restricted ba'ana'a to this fig that I will eat it, or this grape that I will eat it, harielu shnei nidarim. These are considered to be two separate nidarim. The Ran over here says that the only nafkamina that they are two nidarim is that if he is mefer b'miksat, it's not considered to be mixed in the nether because it's two separate nidarim. But not that two nidarim make a difference because the Ran believes you can be mayfair multiple nidarim in one shot. So that doesn't make a difference. The only thing that makes a difference is if you're mekayim one of them, the other one's not automatically mekuyam. Or if you're mayfair one of them, then it stands by itself because you don't need to be mayfair the entirety of it. So that's the end of the Mishnah. Right. So that the Rosh said earlier. The Rosh actually earlier in asking on our Gemara earlier asked from this Mishnah, and he said that it was a difference between Stam and Mifaresh. If he specifies in this Mishnah that it's Te'inim or Anavim, that's what causes him the problem with the Hafara. If he's just Mayfair Stam, then we assume that the Hafara captures the entirety of what was said here, and it will be Mayfair for both the Te'inim and Anavim. He caused himself a problem by specifying the item that he's being Mayfair. And that's what the Rosh said earlier, is the distinction to be made in this Mishnah. The Tosafot, Balei Tosafot, raised an issue that the Rosh also discussed before, which is, don't we have a principle of Neder Shehutar Miksato Hutar Kulo? Why don't we say the same thing over here? That Neder Shehufar Miksato Hufar Kulo. So the distinction that we saw in the Rosh earlier, and the Tosafot hints to it, is that Hafara and Hatara work in a different manner. Hatara is Oker the Neder Mi'ikaro, whereas the Hafara is a prospective cutting off of the nether. And as I stated before, the difference would be that the Hatarat HaNeder goes after the Maiseh HaNeder. It undermines the entirety of the action of the nether itself. Whereas the Hafara is a neutralizer of the Isurim. The nether is still intact. You're just neutralizing the Isurim. So therefore, when you have Hutar Miksato, the nether is gone because you've now undermined the Maiseh HaNeder that he wanted to put in place. And the nether he took is not the nether that he intended to take anymore. By Hafara, the nether is still intact. He's just neutralizing the Isurim, and therefore, since the nether is intact, you don't say Mufar Miksato, Mufar Kulo. Okay, Mani Matnitan, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Ishmael. It must be Rabbi Ishmael de Tanya. We have a Braita. Ishah Yikimeno, Vishah Yifereno. Amra, in a case where she says, Konam Te'inim V'anavim Elu, she restricts herself in Hana'a from, or that I will taste, these figs or these anamim, Shanito Emet, Kiyem L'Te'inim, Kulo Kayam. If he upholds the Te'inim, then automatically the Kiyum applies to the entirety of the nether. Hefer the Te'inim, then if he nullifies the Te'inim, Enu Mufar, Aji Afer Af Le'anavim. Then it's not Mufar until you are made for also the Anavim, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, which is exactly reflective of our Mishnah. It's identical to the Dinim that are found in our Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yosef with the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Harehu Omer. Pasuk says, Isha Yikimena, Isha Yiferena. Ma Yikimenu Mimenu, Af Yiferenu Mimenu. Just like Yikimenu is Mimenu, so too Yiferenu is Mimenu. So now the assumption here is that the word Yikimenu is really not necessary or wasn't necessary to formulate it in that manner. And therefore, when we look at the word yakimenu, it means yakim menu or yakim mimenu. That you just have to be making a portion of it in order for the hakamah to go into effect. That, and Rabbi Shmuel is going to say it in 1 second, is a drasha that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree to. That yakimena, we are doresh, that means yakim mimenu. As long as you're making at least a portion of it, that suffices to mimikayim the whole thing. Now, yifirenu, they don't see that as meaning yafer mimenu. That they don't see as being the drasha or the way to interpret that word. So Rabbi Shmuel, therefore, has a difference. Yakim mimenu says that half a hakama is an entire hakama. But yifirenu, where we don't have that drasha, then you have to do the whole hafara and not a portion of the hafara. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, not that he disagrees fundamentally with Rabbi Shmuel, he agrees fundamentally with Rabbi Shmuel, but he says here that we have a hekesh. It says, isha yikimenu, isha yifirenu. There's a hekesh between hafara and hakama. Ma yikimenu mimenu. Just like yikimenu means yakim mimenu. Af yifirenu mimenu. So too we'll interpret the hafara to mean hafara mimenu. So even though it might not have been the natural way to explain that word or the drasha that would have come to you, but because they are juxtaposed in the pasuk, that gives us the right, just like we do it by hakama, to do it by hafara. And therefore Rabbi Akiva seemingly believes that a partial hakama is a full hakama, and a partial hafara is also considered to be a full hafara. Rabbi Ishmael, Miktiv yafer mimenu. It doesn't say yafer mimenu. So even though he's willing to be doresh yakim mimenu, he's not willing to do that with regards to yafer mimenu. So now, Rabbi Akiva, mekish hafara lakaba. He has this hekesh, ma'akama mimenu, af hafara mimenu. Amar Rabbi Chia ba'avam Rabbi Yochanan, zo divrei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Those are the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Aval chachamim omrim, but now we have a third opinion, which is the chachamim. Now we have a girsa in our Gemara, and the Ran brings an alternate girsa, which seems to be the girsa that most of the Rishonim had. They don't seem to have the girsa that we have in our Gemara, which is Chachamim omrim mekish hakama lahafara. That hakama is connected to hafara. Ma hafara. When it comes to hafara, mash hefer, hefer. Whatever you do hafara for is hafara. Af hakama mash kiyem, kiyem. Whatever you keep, you keep. So now, according to the girsa that we have in our Gemara, and you can see in Rashi the way that he's interpreting the Chachamim, which is Ava Chachamim Ormim Meikish Hakama LaHafara. That Hakama is connected to Hafara. Ma LaHafara B'miksat Ma Sheifer Lo Hufar. Whatever Hafara you do doesn't work. Da'aktiv Yafer Lo Ktiv Yafer Mimenu. Because over there it doesn't say Yafer Mimenu. Af Hakama Ma Shekiem Lo Kiyem. Now, the way that Rashi is explaining the sheet of the Chachamim is that we have yakimenu and we have yafirenu. The way that Rabbi Akiva did it was to say yakimenu means yakimimenu. Therefore, the hekesh takes whatever we know by hakama to hafara. So just like hakama makes that work, so does hafara. The chachamim are doing the other way around. They're putting the emphasis on the hafara side, which is hefirenu. Doesn't mean hefer mimenu, but it means you have to be mefer the entire thing. So too, the hekesh back to hakama makes it that you have to be making the whole thing. Hakama b'miksat lo shmei hakama. That's the way that Rashi reads it, or the Mefaresh here reads it. Now, what is clear is that our Gemara does not have that girsa, or that's not what's written in our Gemara. Now, at least from the Mefaresh, we can understand what's happening over here, which is that hafara is the focal point, and whatever is true by the hafara, then it's true by the hakama. But the way that we have the girsa is mekisha hakama hafara, mafara, mashefer, hefer. There it says, whatever you did the hafara for is successful. Which means that the way that the argmar reads is, yeferenu means yefer mi menu. Yefer mi menu means that if you do a hafara b'miksat, it is successful. Af hakama mashikiyem kiyem. So too, by hakama, whatever you do b'miksat, works b'miksat and not to do the whole thing. So the chachamim's opinion in this instance, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, is that you can do everything b'miksat. You can do hafara b'miksat, and you can do hakama b'miksat, and it doesn't become kulo. Or in essence, that what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel said was that when you do a hakama b'miksat, it's considered to be hakamat kulo. The chachamim say that's not true. Hakama can be hakama b'miksat, just like you can have a hafara b'miksat, who's going to Rabbi Shmuel, and obviously negating Rabbi Akiva's position, which is hafara b'miksat is hafara kulo. That's the girsa that we have. And then what we just saw in Rashi and is brought by seemingly the Balei Tosafot, and the Ran brings this alternative girsa as well, is Avobu Tosefta lo mashma hachi. Tosefta doesn't sound like this. Alma enu mufar klal, that there's no afra at all. The fikach nira girsat satzer refreim ikar girsa hachi. Aval chachamim omrim mahafara. When it comes to afra, mashay fair lo hufar. When you do a mixed afra, it doesn't work at all. Avakama mashikim lo kiim doesn't work at all. And that would be the alternate girsa, and clearly the way that Rashi is interpreting, and the Ran brings that alternate girsa, which is there are two ways to read it. Similar to what we saw in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we saw there were two possibilities about how to understand when we say that you're mefer v'miksat, what happens? Does mefer v'miksat mean that whatever afra you did is successful, but whatever you didn't do does not work? Or do we say that the afra does not work at all? So those two interpretations of the Chachamim's position would actually then impact on Hakamah. Do we say that hafara doesn't work at all, and therefore hakama doesn't work at all when you do b'miksat? Or does hafara work b'miksat, and so too hakama works b'miksat? So the interpretation, the two interpretations of the Mishnah might also be impactful here in terms of how you view the Chachamim's position, extrapolating from hafara to hakama. So now the Gemara quotes the latter part of the Gemara, Amra konam te'ena. And then she says again, anava. So she separates them out. We said that was Shnei Derim. Amarava matnit and Rabbi Shimoni. Our mission is Rabbi Shimon. Damar ad shiomar shvua l'kol echad v'echad. It's a Gemara in Shvuot that says that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that it only is considered to be a separate shvua if you articulate each time shvua blank, 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 shvua blank, 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 that the vav itself may not be sufficient to generate multiple shvuot. So, in the case of our Mishnah, where she says, konam, teinim, v'anavim, that vav is not enough of a segregation to say that it's a separate neder. On the end, where you say, konam, teina, and then v'anava, and in between she says, shani to'emet, that already delineates it as a separate neder. That's the way the Ran reads. The Ran reads it over here, that the shani to'emet, specified by each item, makes it into a separate neder. On the other hand, Tosafot clearly says over here that Hachinami lo mishnei derim elo mishum damar kunam l'kol echad v'echad. It's clear that Tosafot had a different girsa in our Mishnah, which was kunam teina shani toemet v'kunam anava shani toemet. That you need a kunam by each one of them, similar to the word shvua that you need by each one of them for Rabbi Shimon. The Ran says it's sufficient that you said a shani toemet separately for each one of them. That already segregates it out. But simply saying konam teinim vanavim does not make it into two separate nidarim or two separate shvuot, because the vav is not enough of a reason to separate it, and that's the shito of Rabbi Shimon from the Gemara and Shvuot. Alright, next Mishnah. Yodeani sheish nidarim. I know there's a concept of nidarim, of any yodea sheish mefirin, but I don't know that there are people or the right to be mefer. So, the way that the Mefarish explains it over here is, I didn't know that anybody in the world had the right to be Mayfair, or that there is such a concept of Hafara. Or he says that, I didn't know that the Baal had a right to be Mayfair, any nether, whether it's Inu Nefesh, Beino the Beina, I didn't know that. So in that case, Yafair. When he finds out, he gets the information that he's allowed to do Hafara, that is considered to be Yom Shamo. And since that's Yom Shamo, he has the right to be Mayfair on that day, because he's now been given information that he didn't know before. On the other hand, Yodea Nishiesh Mayfirin, I do know there is a concept of Hafara, of any Yodea Shizen Neder. I didn't know that this was a Neder. The way the Mefarash explains it over here is, of any Yodea Im Neder Zen Neder Gamurhu. I didn't know if this was a real Neder or not. I don't know if this was an effective Neder. V'nimna v'lo efer bo bayom. Never he held back and he didn't do hafara on that day. The way the Ran explains it is, I didn't know shezeh motan nedarim shabal mefer. I didn't know that this was one of the types of nedarim that the husband had the right to be mefer. So in this case, he knows conceptually that there is hafara in the world, but he makes a mistake regarding the neder. Whether the neder was chal or whether the neder was a type of neder that entitled him to hafara. So in that case, we have a machloket. Rabbi Meir Omer lo yafer. Rabbi Meir says you cannot be mefer, and Chachamim Omrim yafer. Chachamim say you can be mefer. So the way the Mefarash explains this is Rabbi Meir Omer lo yafer lachar zman kushlonoda shenederhu. That after a time period when he finds out that it's a neder, at that point he can't do Hafarah. He can't do Hafarah at that time because he missed Yom Shamot. Yom Shamot was the day that he found out that the nether was taken, even though he didn't understand that that nether had Hafarah at that time. And later on, that's a problem. Pusheyo, that was his fault. He missed the opportunity. And what Rabbi Meir believes, according to the Mefarshim, is Mitzvah Shmiah, Kechol Shmiah. Since he knew part of the information at that point, that was sufficient time period, or that was the time period that he should have been Yom Shamo, and he didn't take advantage of it. Since he didn't take advantage of it, he can't be Mefer. Chamim Omrim, Yafer. He can be Mefer because even though he had heard something, it wasn't clear to him. And when he gets clarity, that's considered to be Yom Shamo. And we don't consider Mitzvah Shmiah to be Kekol Shmiah. And therefore, when he finds out the information, he's allowed to be Mayfair at that later date. Right? So that's the way that the Mefarash explains it. The Ran brings two interpretations here. One that is similar to what the Mefarash says over here, which is where Meir believes you missed your turn. Yom Shamal was the time to do it, and you missed it when you found out about the nether, and now you can't do it. And the Chachamim say, yes, you still have the opportunity to do it. The Ran brings an alternative explanation that says, Remeir Omer lo yafer, you can never be mefer in this instance, because in each instance, you're missing information. At the time of the nether, you can't be mefer, because he didn't know it was a nether that he had to hafarah. When he finds out the information later, it's not Yom Shamol, because he already had heard about the nether earlier, he just didn't have the information that clarified it. And therefore, Remeir says, lo yafer means period. Whether he did it on the Yom Shamol, or he did it later on when he finds out the information, neither of those times would have worked. On the other hand, the earlier interpretation had, according to Rabbi Meir, he'd done the hafarah on the day. Even though he didn't know it was a nether that needed hafarah, he just did hafarah anyway, it would have been effective and it would have worked. But according to the second interpretation, it doesn't work ever. Because you don't have sufficient information on the day that he knows about the nether, because he doesn't know it's a nether that needs hafarah. When he finds out it's a nether that needs hafarah, it's not Yom Shamot, and therefore he loses both cases, and Rabbi Meir says you can't be mefer at all. The Chachamim, on the other hand, say yafer means on the first time. When he heard about it the first time, he could have been mefer the nether. Later on, they agree with Rabbi Meir, he can't be mefer the nether. Just that first time, if he had been mefer at that time, it would have worked. So those are the two possible ways to explain this Mishnah on the machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Because Rabbi Meir believed that there is no hafarah in this instance whatsoever, because each shmiah is lacking in some form, and therefore you can't do hafarah in either instance. And the Chachamim say you could do hafarah in the first case, not in the second case. Or, does everybody agree you could have done hafarah on the day that you heard about the nether? The machloket is the later date when you find out about it. Is that later date a good time to call it Yom Shamot? Rabbi Meir says, no, that's not called Yom Shamot either because he had the information earlier or because it's Knas Chachamim that he was a Pusheya. Chachamim say, no, you can do the hafarah then because that's deemed to be Yom Shamot. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Gemara on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Beth.